Sugarcoat at Sundance, Candace said after we'd gotten to the car and hopped in. But that was epic. I grinned. Did you see her face? I asked, mimicking the way Muriel had clutched her throat and looked stricken. Candace laughed all the way down the long drive. I can't believe you pulled all that stuff out of the ether. I mean, I did a thorough check on her, and except for the brother's drug problem, there wasn't even a hint of any of those other scandals. Child's play, I said smugly, wiping my hands together for emphasis. Our cool satisfaction lasted exactly 10 more seconds until my phone rang. What did you say to Muriel McKenna? Dutch demanded. Uh-oh, I thought. Why? What did she say? She said that we're fired, Dutch yelled. Oh, crap, I whispered. What? Candace asked, nudging me with her elbow. Abigail, Dutch said, using my full name, which meant he was really, really, really mad. Do you know how much money we've got on the line with those three rooms? Do you understand that we'd have to refund her most of what she's paid us, even though the special order materials for her remodels have all been ordered and they'd be non-refundable on our end, which means that we'd have to eat the cost, which would then mean we're sunk unless we can complete the project? Wait, I said. Don't you have a contract? I mean, don't you have any legal redress in case she fired you to help cover your capital outlay? When I'm freaked out, I use big words like legal redress and capital outlay. Of course we have a contract, but she had her lawyers tweak it so that she didn't have to cover the cost of materials unless the job passes code. If she fires us before we finish the job, then the job doesn't meet code and we're out the money. Gulp. By now, Candace had pulled the car over to the side of the road, and I was holding my phone so that we could both hear him. Of course, Dutch was yelling loud enough so that most of you could probably hear. But I digress. Candace looked at me and winced. I decided then that my best defense might be a good offense. Well, maybe I would have been more cooperative with her if my husband had told me about how his client had been making the moves on him. Dutch made a low, guttural sound of irritation. I didn't tell you, Abby, because I didn't want you to call her up or head over there and confront her when I was handling the situation. She's not the first woman to come on to me, you know. Candace and I both sucked in a breath. Did he really just say that to me? Narrowing my eyes and speaking through clenched teeth, I said, "Handling it just fine, eh? Is that why you asked Candace to take me over there and play nice with her? Oh, and maybe I should also ask if this is going to be the regular routine from now on for the hordes of women who come on to you." Dutch sighed heavily, and we heard some muffled knocking. I had a pretty good idea he was hitting his forehead with the phone. I'm sorry, he finally said. That was out of line. You'll get no argument on that from me, I snapped. Edgar, he said gently, using his favorite nickname for me. I am sorry, but this is serious. If she fires us, we're screwed. Well, it's not my fault, I shouted, all worked up and unwilling to be mollified. You know I'm not good with people. Why'd you send me in there to play with a tigress when you know I pack a taser for those times when the cats get all mean and snarly? Candace reached for the phone and plucked it out of my hand. Putting it to her ear, she said, "We'll fix this, Rivers." She then hung up, tossed the phone back into my lap, and pulled a U-turn. How are we going to fix this? I asked her, my voice pitchy with panic. By going back there and making nice, Abby, Candace said, and agreeing to her terms. What terms? She wanted you to look into that guy she wants to hire, right?